This is the Unconquered Podcast. Unbiased, unrivaled, and unconquered coverage and analysis of Florida State football.
If Florida State,
we won national championships and ACC championships.
It's caught! Touchdown official, Kelvin Benjamin!
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something I can really do this.
Game over! Those are the champions of college football!
Jameis, why? Jameis, no! No! No!
Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Today in the podcast, we're going to talk about the Florida State defense. What's sort of been lacking, comparing it a little bit to last season, and what we can expect from this defense moving forward. First things first, it's obvious that this defense is nowhere near what we saw from Florida State last year. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Last year's defense was one of the best in recent memory. It was up there with the Alabama defense from 2009 and several other defenses that have been extraordinarily dominant over the past few years. Last year's defense was as good as anybody. So to expect this year's defense to be on the same level, to be on par with what we saw last year, I think was probably an outsized expectation to begin with. And I think that's one of the reasons at this point that that so many people have really been questioning this team and have questioned this defense to the degree that they have. I don't think there's any doubt that it's not the dominant unit that people expected. But if we hadn't already had last year, if we hadn't seen what that defense could look like last year, I'm not sure that people are looking at this defense and questioning it quite the same way. It's one of those things. They look worse by comparison than they do when you actually look at the numbers. This is not a bad unit. We're not talking about a defense that has serious problems, serious issues. It's just that this defense, like most college defenses and most good college defenses, does have some holes, does have some weaknesses and some concerns that could potentially get this team beat down the stretch. Now, the first thing to talk about then after that is why this defense is not as good as what we saw last year. And I think that answer is very simple. But before we get to what that answer is, we're going to talk about what it isn't. I think it's very plain. If you watch the tape and if you break down what's actually happening on the field, the typical fan impression that Charles Kelly, the new Florida State defensive coordinator, that the shift from Jeremy Pruitt last season, who is now at Georgia, to Charles Kelly, who's taken over the defense this season, fans like to blame coaches. And so, you know, basically the idea is that Charles Kelly is one of the big reasons for this defense underperforming. That's basically the thought. I think that's as far from the truth as what you could get. First of all, if you want to see what the issues really are, just look at what happened with the University of Georgia last week. They got run into the ground by a team that basically ran Power O 30 times, that threw the football for 23 yards through the air, and Georgia still couldn't stop them. And that's not an indictment on Jeremy Pruitt, although I do wonder why they chose not to bring their safeties up and just play nine in the box and force Florida to throw the football to beat them. So I do wonder that. But at the end of the day, the reason that Georgia lost that football game was because Jeremy Pruitt doesn't have the same degree, the same amount of talent to work with on the Georgia defense that he did at Florida State last year. The reason the Florida State defense was so good last year was because of personnel. So this is not a coaching problem. Florida State is still a well-coached defense. This is still a good defense, but it's not what it was last year for several reasons, and it's all pretty much personnel. The first thing is that last year you had a lot of senior leadership. You had Telvin Smith. You had LaMarcus Joyner. In addition, you had a couple defensive linemen who weren't seniors or who weren't starters, but they were seniors on the defensive line and provided leadership in Jacoby McDaniel and in DeMonte McAllister. These are guys that were important leaders on that team, on that defense, and most of all, they're guys that had been well coached, not just you know, for 1 or 2 years, but they'd been in good defensive systems and had been fundamentally coached to play good football, along with on-field experience, for 3 and 4 years. These are 3 and 4 year starters, or guys who had split reps, like starters at least, for 3 and 4 years. And now you're replacing those guys with a defense that has one starter in their two deep. Or one senior in their two deep, that is. And that's backup defensive tackle Holland. He's the only senior that's actually playing in any stretch. You could say that that Waysom, Nick Waysom, the corner, he's in the two deep as well, depending on what two deep you're looking at. You could argue for that, but he doesn't play two deep minutes really. So you're looking at going from a senior laden, fairly experienced defense last year to one that's been very young all season. That's number one. The second thing, and I think this is the single most important difference from last year, is if you looked at last year's defense, this is something I highlighted going into the national championship game that made this Florida State defense so good. That defense, the single most important thing, the single most dominant thing that they were able to do is they were able to rotate 6 300-pound defensive linemen with serious experience and great athleticism. Not just Timmy Jernigan at nose tackle, but Timmy Jernigan, DeMonte McAllister, Jacoby McDaniel, Eddie Goldman, Niall Lawrence-Stample, and Mario Edwards. All of those guys are 295 pounds plus on the defensive line, and all of them have had experience coming into last year. All of them are playing a good bit. And when you're able to rotate 300-pounders that you can count on, that are consistently doing their job, that are able to handle their gap responsibilities reliably, then those guys are able to play that much harder on each play, because they know that they can go really, really hard for 2, maybe 3 plays, and then they get pulled out for the next guy. You know, Timmy Jernigan can go really hard for 3, 4 plays and then get spelled by Lawrence Stample or Jacoby McDaniel, and you don't have a gigantic drop-off because you've got another guy in there with experience. This year, 2 of those guys are back. Lawrence Stample was the third, and Lawrence Stample was hurt early in the year. So you lose out of that 6-man 300-pounder rotation, you lose 4 of them. So now, instead of rotating 6 reliable 300-pounders with experience, 3 of whom are either in the NFL now or graduated and are on practice squad somewhere, and one of whom is rehabbing an injury, instead of that, you now have Eddie Goldman, who has taken the step forward and is playing dominant football at this point, and Mario Edwards, who's also very, very good. But you're lacking those other guys, that depth up front to be able to help there. Yes, Derek Mitchell has stepped up. He's gotten healthier this year. He stepped up. He's played good football for the most part, although he's not been terribly consistent at certain points. You can see that the injury still is affecting him a little bit, that fake injury, according to NC State head coach Dave Doran. It's amazing how committed Florida State can be to fake injuries sometimes. But Mitchell was on last year's roster and didn't play. I mean, he just didn't have there weren't opportunities for him or Desmond Holland to really even get on the field behind those 6 300-pounders that they had last year. And now, basically, you go from Mitchell, who is a good backup, to now putting him into the starting lineup, and there is a drop-off between Lawrence Stample and Mitchell. If we're talking about, you know, depth, that's a very different thing. Mitchell provides terrific depth at that point, but that's not the situation. That's not what you're asking from him at this point. And he doesn't have the experience that the other guys do either. We're not just talking about physical ability here. It's a matter of experience. And behind him, behind those guys, you've got Desmond Holland, who's a little bit light. The problem that Florida State's been having up front when he's on the field is teams have figured out that he does not hold up at the point of attack in the same way that some of the other defensive tackles do. You can't run at Eddie Goldman, because he will ragdoll almost any guard in the country and push that right back into the play. Holland, on the other hand, you can run at, and teams have done that. And then you've got Justin Shanks. Shanks is a guy who, you know, he's been on campus a little bit, but he hasn't really played. He's had weight issues. He's had, you know, he was diagnosed with sleep apnea and some of those issues early in his career. He's fought injuries. He's not the same kind of player that you have on last year's roster, that you had on last year's roster. When you go to those guys, when Shanks and Holland were on the field early in the Notre Dame game, Notre Dame was able to run at will between the tackles. And that actually led to Mario Edwards and Eddie Goldman taking over 80 snaps apiece, if I remember correctly. It was in the high 70s or low 80s for Edwards, and then it was well into the 80s for Goldman, as I recall. You can't give 100% effort for that amount of time. You just can't. So at that point, Goldman and Edwards, as good as they are, have to store a little bit in reserve for the situations that really matter most, because they're playing so many reps. Whereas last year, those guys were released. They could play all out every play, because they knew that as soon as they got tired, they could tap their helmet and come up and be standing on the sideline for a couple plays and then go back in as soon as they were ready. This year, that's not happening. That's the biggest single difference on this defense. The secondary, by and large, you know, the corners and all of that, you're still looking at good performance by and large. But when you're not able to stop the run with dominant performance on the defensive interior, you're put into different kinds of situations. So that's the first thing. And if Florida State is going to improve over this last month, they need to get better. They need to improve their depth on the defensive interior. And the only way I see that happening is if Derek Nnadi, the freshman, true freshman, gets more reliable. He's got the physical ability to do it. He came in actually physically probably ahead of where Timmy Jernigan did as a true freshman. But he still is not quite reliable enough. He's, you know, when he's been in games, he's gotten pulled out because he's not adequately protecting the proper gap, or, you know, his technique is just off. There have been some issues with that, and so they've got to be able to trust him in order to be able to play him. But if they can get to where suddenly they can trust Nnadi in addition to Goldman and Edwards and Mitchell, all of whom they can trust, even though Mitchell's not the playmaker, the other two are, now you're a step closer. And then, you know, if you can maybe get and that also takes a little pressure off of Holland and allows him to play a different role as well. Then hopefully you can get Shanks to gain just a little bit more health and be a little bit better. But I'm not very optimistic about that. The bottom line is that Florida State's not going to be on the interior what they were last year. Next year, the defensive interior does look healthier, actually, even though Eddie Goldman is sure to go to the NFL, and as is Mario Edwards. The depth situation on the defensive interior should be better next year with Lawrence Stample back. Mitchell should be back. Shanks and Nnadi should be back. You'll also have DeMarcus Christmas. You've got, you know, some of those freshmen that are not quite ready right now. That rotation is going to start to thicken out again next year. It should, and in 2 years, it should be very good. But the biggest result, like I said, of that lack of depth is that you cannot sustain the level of intensity up front that last year's defense did. You have to turn it up and turn it down in order to survive. And I think that's what you see. You can see this defense when they get into goal line situations, when they get into short yardage situations, when they get into, you know, into key situations in games where suddenly they're down. All of a sudden you see that defensive line, they amp intensity up, and you see Eddie Goldman and Mario Edwards getting into the backfield, making plays, and suddenly teams shut down. You saw that against Louisville last week. First half, they couldn't stop. They stopped them on goal line in the first drive, but then after a couple turnovers, the defense got a little bit tired in the second quarter, and they gave up. They got gashed a little bit in between the tackles. That when they came out in the third quarter, Eddie Goldman in particular dominated that game. Louisville went from being able to run more or less at will in the second quarter to not being able to run the football the rest of the game, because the defensive line turned up the intensity in that second half when they got down. And that's where Florida State really is. The second aspect of this that goes beyond the defensive line gets back to how Florida State covers teams downfield, covers, basically does pass coverage. And that has to do with the loss of Telvin Smith. Telvin Smith, as Jimbo Fisher mentioned a couple weeks ago, when I asked Fisher if they were pattern reading, this is sort of a setup question just so that he could say some of this stuff. I asked whether they were pattern reading on the same level that they were last year. I knew that they were, but I wanted to make sure that he said it. And he said, yeah, we're doing the same stuff that we were. But one of the things you've got to remember is that last year we had a senior on the inside at that linebacker position. And when you're pattern reading, when you're matching patterns, the guys on the interior, your nickel and your linebackers, are guys that really have to be in the right spots because they're the guys that are actually matching up more often than not. And a guy like Telvin, who's a senior and who covered like a defensive back and he's balling out in the NFL, a guy like that, suddenly he changes your defense because you have a linebacker who can cover like a defensive back who doesn't cost you in the running game. And now when you match up, that underneath stuff just isn't going to be there. The space to get underneath completions isn't there. And they haven't had that this year. Subbing Reggie Northrup is a good run stopper between the tackles. He's a thumper a little bit. Same thing with EJ Levenberry, more of a thumper as a linebacker. Neither one is anywhere close. I mean, they're not even in the same galaxy as Telvin Smith as far as coverage linebackers. They can't turn and run the same way. I mean, Smith was a guy, he ran like a defensive back. He turned and he bent. He could move his hips. He had all of that flexibility like a defensive back in a linebacker body. A little bit smaller linebacker, but, you know, he was able to do all of that. You've still got Terrence Smith, who's the best linebacker on the team. He's able to do a lot of that stuff, but that second linebacker can be picked on outside the tackles and in pass coverage, and that's another issue. Matthew Thomas has helped a little bit since he's been back, but now he's banged up. And there's some places where his youth and inexperience have shown up in some of those things where he's not quite in the right spot. You know, he's missed by a yard or two where he should be when he's adequately matching. And so sometimes it doesn't even look like they're matching because, you know, a guy like Thomas has missed his spot just a little bit. At any rate, that's another issue. And then we get to the third issue that connects with difficulty stopping the pass. And that's that last year's defense didn't really take off until Christian Jones, who's now playing for the Bears, moved to that sort of hybrid outside linebacker, defensive end position, put his hand in the dirt more often than not, and was able to provide a consistent presence on the edge opposite Mario Edwards. And, you know, he was a bit underrated last year. People didn't realize exactly how valuable he was for Florida State last year. But once he moved to the edge, teams could not run outside. They could not run out. They could not get width on Florida State to that side because he was so good at setting that edge, so good at maintaining contain. And he also was able, even though he didn't have a lot of sacks, he got a lot of pressure on the quarterback from that front side. This year, you've got Chris Kasher, who's been a whipping boy on this podcast since the preseason, and deservedly so because he's soft as a pillow. And DeMarcus Walker, who plays harder than Kasher. You know, he's a more solid, he's a sturdier player, but he doesn't move well laterally, and he also has lacked intensity at times. And so you're replacing Jones with those guys, and those guys have taken turns basically doing Where's Waldo disappearing acts all season. So you've got that issue. Or you bring in a true freshman who's obviously a wunderkind. I mean, he's a freak of nature, Lorenzo Featherston, 6'7", 225, but he is only 225. He's way too light to be playing in that role on a three-down basis. He can't do it. The other thing is that he's not quite dependable enough in terms of misdirection and other things. You know, he'll chase on play action and different things when he should be playing a particular assignment. So, and teams discovered that in, you know, the last couple of games, they've actioned him a little bit more, and so he hasn't played quite as much. But basically, you go from a guy who's playing in the NFL right now, who's a well-developed senior at that position, to Featherston or Kasher or Walker. And, you know, if Featherston were backing up a Christian Jones, then you're fine. If, you know, Jacob Pugh, who's had a good year, were backing up a Christian Jones. That's fine. But those guys have not been, those guys are not quite ready at this level to be, you know, 2-3 down contributors. And Featherston, you know, as explosive as he is, you know, he's still, again, too light to be able to be a consistent pass rusher on the edge. And the reason that you can't just move Mario Edwards to defensive tackle to make up for some of the issues at defensive tackle is because if you move him to defensive tackle on a regular basis and just say, okay, well, we're going to have Goldman and Edwards on the inside, then that means you're putting either both Kasher and Walker on the field at the same time, where you've got some serious problems, and Mitchell, for, you know, as limited as he's been in certain cases, especially since the knee, he's not as limited as Kasher and Walker have been, especially Kasher. Kasher, you know, getting driven off the ball all too often. You're putting those guys on the field pretty much all the time, or you've got Featherston and one of those guys. You've got to have Edwards on the field at that defensive end position with Mitchell in that other role, playing more three-man type stuff to give you the best chance. That's what they're doing. It's what I would do. It's really their only choice right now, as they're waiting on guys to step up and play a little bit. The other thing that we can look at, again, goes back to personnel. Last season's secondary was, once they went to dime, in their nickel and dime looks, I think you can, in another 10 years, we might look back at the 2013 Florida State secondary and say that was the best secondary in college football history. And I know that there are a few of you out there who are just rolling your eyes right now and you're going to call me a homer or whatever. I know talent. I know what I saw last year. I saw the Miami 2001 and 2002 and 2003 secondaries up close and personal. And last year's Florida State secondary was better than those secondaries. Last year, you had first-round corners on each side, which you still have this year. You have Darby and Williams both on the outside. And even though they've not been quite at the level that people, you know, sort of expected in terms of performance, in terms of numbers this year, and in terms of appearance, they've still been good enough that pro scouts are expecting them to be first-rounders in this next draft. So you got Darby and Williams on the outside. You have LaMarcus Joyner, who is playing, you know, he's balling in the NFL at this point as a rookie. And he's as good in that star role as you could ask for. Then you have, I think, one of the most underrated players in Florida State history in Terrence Brooks. He's, again, he's starting in the NFL as a rookie on a good Baltimore Ravens defense. Not what they were in the past, but still, he's starting for the Ravens at safety. A guy that had great range, was a stopper back there. And then you've got Ramsey next to him, Jalen Ramsey next to him. And then when you go dime, you put Nate Andrews on the field. That is six NFL defensive backs out of that dime package. All of those guys are probably going to start in the NFL. The only guy that really there's any doubt about among that group, in terms of whether he's going to start in the NFL, is Andrews. And, you know, I think he probably does wind up starting somewhere in the NFL. He's a very versatile player. He has a chance. So you're looking at going from that dime to suddenly pulling out Brooks and putting in Tyler Hunter, who's been up and down a little bit. He's played much better than I think people realize, but he's still been a drop-off from Brooks. And then you take Ramsey and you substitute him. You substitute for Ramsey, you put Andrews in there, which means that now when you go dime, instead of Andrews, you have LaMarcus Brutus, and that's a big drop. And then you put Ramsey in Joyner's place. And that's somewhat of a drop-off. It's not a huge drop-off, but it's enough when you account for the other drop-offs that come from moving those guys around. So the secondary is not quite as good as it was last year, especially in the dime situations, where last year, when Florida State went dime, they could stop both the run and the pass because of the personnel that they had. This year, it's a little bit more complicated. It's not quite so easy. And then without the pass rush, with the lack of a pass rush, without Christian Jones, without the consistency from the defensive line, without that pass rush, the whole defense just does not look as good. Those are the issues on the defense. That's why the defense has not looked as good the last few, you know, over the course of this week, or I mean, over the course of this year and over the last few weeks. It, you know, there's been place at times and stretches where you just wonder. You watch that second quarter against Louisville and you go, that does not look like a championship defense. But then the thing is, this defense is still pretty dang good. It's one of the best in the country on fourth down. 3 out of 12 fourth downs have succeeded. Fourth down attempts have succeeded against this team. It's in the top 12, I believe, in the country against in the red zone against FBS competition. This has been a team that where you can see when the intensity level goes up and there's some need, when there's a requirement for a play to be made in order for this team to survive, they make that play. They've been able to do that. But the problem is the lack of consistency. And that's what you're going to get with youth. That's what you're going to get with some of these other things. And one other thing I haven't talked about is the amount of injuries that this team has had. Last year's team was incredibly healthy over the course of the year, and this year's team has made up for it in double duty. I mean, last week there were 7 linebackers from the Florida State defense that were injured by the second half of the Louisville game. That's 7. And one just got kicked off the team in Marcus Oligwe this week, which is a real shame because he's the guy that I expected to take the Christian Jones role this year, and that's really too bad that down the stretch they really really needed him to be able to do that. And that's something I would actually consider with Matthew Thomas down the stretch. I would consider putting Matthew Thomas in that role. If the one change that I might make if I were Charles Kelly would be to try to put Matthew Thomas in that Christian Jones role on the edge and just see what you can get from him in that case. He's not that big. You know, he's maybe 230. But he offers that explosion and the ability to hold that edge, I think, a little bit better maybe than what you're getting from Kasher and Walker. And when you need their size, you can put them on the field. That's something I would consider in leaving Northrop and Levenberry on the field at that other linebacker opposite Terrence Smith. I think you've got a little bit more out of them than what sometimes you're getting out of that defensive end spot, that outside linebacker spot. So I would consider that, especially on third down situations. Although again, with Featherston and Pugh, you're getting a lot of that same stuff. So it's something I would consider. I wouldn't necessarily do it. The thing is, Thomas is a better coverage linebacker as well than Northrop and Levenberry. So they it may be in practice that they've determined that that's what they really where he can help them more. But at any rate, the next question is, what kind of improvement can we expect down the stretch? And I think we can expect some improvement as this defense gets a little bit healthier, which they have gotten healthier over the last week. How much is another question. I think how much this defense improves down the stretch really depends on the development of another defensive tackle or two who can come into the rotation. I've heard some good things about Giorgio Newberry, believe it or not, at one defensive tackle, perhaps providing some depth. And if he gets his chance and plays well, that would be huge for this defense. Derek Nnadi needs to step forward and be able to take some snaps. Over the next month, they're going to play some teams that run the football, that are power-based teams that want to go a little bit bigger personnel and try to mash you. And this defense needs to be able to rotate some bodies on the inside to be able to stop that against Virginia tomorrow and against Miami and against Boston College and against Florida. All 4 of those teams down the stretch are going to try to bludgeon you. And so to me, if this team is going to succeed down the stretch, they really need that second and third defensive tackle spots. They need those spots to get better, and they need to get healthy elsewhere. Otherwise, you know, I think that the defense has been good enough in situations. And, you know, there seems to be some boredom at times before those situations, but they've been good enough in situations to make me think that they can be good enough for this team to still win a championship. That's an open question. We'll see whether or not that's actually the case, but I'm not ruling it out at this point. They're still good enough. Now it's just a matter of whether or not they play that way all the time. Well, that'll do it for today. For this episode of the Unconquered Podcast, on behalf of the rest of the Null Digest crew, I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast. Thanks for listening. I made this.